Please be seated. Well, in case you hadn't noticed, it's Lent. I'm going to do something very un-Episcopalian. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in church. How many of you have given up something for Lent? Okay, a lot of you, but a lower percentage than at the 9 o'clock. How many of you have taken on some new spiritual discipline for Lent? Okay. Our Lenten practices are pretty well set, aren't they? They're habits. We know what Lent is about. It's about giving something up. But this year, your clergy would like to invite you to something different. Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, alone with his thoughts and his God. Lent is 40 days and 40 nights. This is not a coincidence. And often, because of this perfect match, we read the story of Jesus' time in the wilderness and we see it as an invitation to suffering. Or at least to scarcity, to give something up that we enjoy in a sort of sharing in Jesus' trials. But this morning, I'd like to look a little closer at what is going on in today's gospel. So some context. Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John, and the Holy Spirit, in this gospel, leads him into the wilderness. In some of our other gospels, he is driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a smart cookie. Let's not forget, Jesus is human, like you and I. And I'm going to guess that, like most humans, Jesus' instinct after his baptism is to get directly to work. Right? I mean, if you just graduated from Baylor with a fancy new diploma, what do you want to do? You want to go out and use that. Or if you buy a new computer, you immediately want to pull it out of the box and start pounding on the keys to see what it can do, right? We are very good at keeping ourselves busy. So, if you're Jesus, and you've just been baptized by a fire and brimstone preacher, and had the Holy Spirit of all things descend on you, and have heard the voice of God call you beloved, how could you not want to immediately get to work, declaring the kingdom, healing people, and teaching folks about God, right? What we humans are not so good at is rest, replenishment, stillness, listening. I want you to think for just a second. When was the last time in your life when there wasn't music playing or a television show or talk radio or a conversation with someone? When was the last time there was no noise at all? For most of us, I bet it was a long time ago, like maybe the last power outage. So the Spirit gets out in front of Jesus' human inclination towards busyness, towards getting right down to it, and drives him or leads him out to where there is nothing to do but sit still, listen, rest. We can imagine that in that, he comes face to face with his humanity, with his mortal nature. Now, there's a shock to the system. You've just had this moment of incredible glory, of hearing a voice from heaven calling you God's son, and then it's off to fast for 40 days, to come to the edge of death, to go way beyond the bounds. Realize you are still human. But then Jesus says something really important in the midst of today's gospel, at the end of his time in the desert, they're some of the truest words that have ever been spoken, and I suspect that he needed all of those 40 days to get to this point where he says, human beings do not live by bread alone. Maybe that's what the desert is really for, to really find out what it means to be human, to realize that while hunger is sharp, spiritual hunger is more dangerous, to realize that while thirst is horrible, spiritual thirst is deadly. Lent can be one of two things. It can either be a terrifying reminder that we are going to die and therefore to be avoided at all costs, or it can be the liberating freedom of knowing that we are going to die, that we are mortal, less permanent than a breath. And that is liberating truth. Nobody gets out of this alive. Now, I am in that second camp. I adore Ash Wednesday. It may be my favorite day of the whole Christian calendar, and I love Lent. I love the freedom it brings from me pretending that I might be God. And I love Sabbath for the exact same reason. Now, this may seem like a strange leap at first, so stay with me. But this year, we have a challenge and an invitation to all of you and to ourselves as well. We're challenging for a different kind of Lent, to deny ourselves in a different way, to deny our need to be busy all the time, or our need to prove our worth, or our need to be in charge, guilty. We are being challenged to make Sabbath our Lenten practice. Why? Because Sabbath says the same thing as Lent. It says, you're not God, and the world will go on if you stop for one day or one afternoon or a few hours. We can stop pretending to be in charge. So can we, by worrying, add a single day to our life? No. Can we, by managing every moment, change the course of the world? Nope. Can we, by working, undo the march of time? Nope. We are dust, beautiful, holy, beloved, and mortal. And this Lent, God is smearing our foreheads with ash and whispering, it's okay. You're not God, but I am, and let me do it. So put away all those immediate Protestant worries about Sabbath and rules. This is not about rules. It's not about what you can and cannot do. I don't care, and I like rules. God definitely doesn't care because God loves you. So I want to invite you for just a second to sit still, close your eyes, and just notice your breath. Notice what a fragile thing it is. We are asking you only to commit a day or an afternoon, but a rhythm, a reliable rhythm to ceasing, to letting yourself sit in the arms of God and resting. If you haven't fallen asleep from the time change, you can open your eyes. Cease to worry or nag or press. Let the dishes pile up in the sink, and the laundry can stay on the floor. This was really hard for the 9 o'clock parents. They just about came out of their seats at this one. Let the homework stay undone. The world won't end. Promise. And the honey-do list, put it away in a drawer. Trust that God has this. God, who made every cell in your body and every star in the sky from the exact same stuff, and loves you. Trust that God can take care of the world for a few hours while you stop being supermom or CEO or cook or chauffeur or cruise director, whatever title you are wearing in your family. Now, think for me for just a moment about what in your life is pure delight and joy and refreshment. What feeds your soul? Even if that is something you haven't experienced in quite a long time, that is the rule for your Sabbath. It could be snuggling with your husband on the couch to watch a movie, or doing the same with your kids or your grandkids. It could be going to the beach. It could be taking the dog to the park without your cell phone and throwing the ball until you're both ready to take a nap in the grass. It could be reading something that has no redeeming value. It might be unplugging everything and opening the windows and just listening to the birds sing. Or cooking your favorite dinner with family and friends, everybody helping, even the little ones where it's not really helping, and laughing if it burns, and not caring that it isn't perfect, and just enjoying each other. I can guarantee you it will be messy. Sometimes it won't work at all. Sometimes you'll fail. Sometimes the voice in your head that urges you to stay busy, to keep the world spinning, to saying that thing that if I'm not doing it right now is not going to get done and it's horrible, sometimes that voice won't shut up. This is not about getting it right. It's about going back again and again to the goodness that God has laid out for us like a smorgasbord and enjoying without any shame. Every time, no matter how rough it might be. Because this isn't another activity to cram into our week. This is our week and our anchor. The church invites her members to the observance of a holy Lent, to prayer for this world that God loves, to self-denial of our need for power, for more, for worldly worth, to fasting from our appetites, for less when we would be inclined to do more, from all that draws us from the love of God. The church invites you to center your life on the one who made you and loves you. The church invites you to live differently, radically, and to let your life speak to all who can see. Amen.